I'm right back at it with my brother Jay Dutch. Fresh new trash for the family, what the fuck? My man Big Bear, but we call him old school. About to get up on the mic and straight up act school. Ain't no fiction here, cause we only talking facts. If he's talking about the bucks, he don't cut him no slack. No need to waste time, and let's get right to it. What the fuck, podcast ain't nothing to it but to do it. Yeah. About to turn it over to my man old school with the what the fuck podcast. Check it, yo. Nothing can stop us, man. It's what the fuck. It's what the fuck. Yeah. It's what the fuck. Yeah. It's what the fuck. Nothing can stop us, man. It's what the fuck.
Welcome to whatthebuck.net. As you can tell, I'm still trying to figure out how the hell to use music in Mixlr because I just reset the intro, so I apologize to that for that to all of our listeners out there. I am old school, coming to you live from Studio 76. I was joined surprisingly. You guys saw the tweet that went out. You guys know we've gotten very accustomed to having Mark Cook, the ginger badass, in studio, which is always nice. If you've ever done any sort of broadcast work, it's always good to be co-located with the people you're talking to. It makes the conversation more natural. Plus, he's a good-looking guy, so having him back in the poker room is kind of nice to have. I didn't think I was going to have that this week, and yet I get a message via Facebook that he's down the street. Mark, welcome once again to the studio. How are you doing tonight, if you're not banging into the microphone with your gigantic Mac?
I'm doing good. I just I don't like communicating via Facebook, but apparently that's your preferred method. So texting, not beeping me,
I don't know that signals. I'm happy to text. You're more responsive to me when I Facebook message. I'm totally – look, this is a couple counseling for us. Here in front of our friends, I am happy to text you. I'll use WhatsApp. Listen, I can find you on Tinder.
I even downloaded your Marco Polo deal. You've yet to call me on that, by the way.
I will absolutely use Marco Polo.
Please don't.
I will Marco Polo the hell out of you.
Great. I still don't even know what it is. I just know that you're like you and Cheryl. I have two contacts in there.
And neither one of us talked to you?
Never.
That's okay. Well, welcome to the show once again, ladies and gentlemen. It's good to have you guys here.
To celebrate a win over the Rams.
Exactly.
Yes!
Another victory. Damn
you
it.
Notice I didn't bring the six-pack.
You did not.
That was the plan.
That was
if
the plan.
If they won, we were going to down the Killing Curly Elderberry Cider six-pack.
And we were not able to do that.
No.
And I'm sure that throughout this show, and they've already figured out some drink words in the chat room, and based on the drink words that I saw, the folks listening to the podcast will probably think this was the greatest podcast in podcastum history.
Because they won't remember
any
of it.
Because they will be just hammered by the time we're done. But at any rate, I do want to, before we get going too far, thank our sponsors. We had our first tailgate this week, Mark, and we always say, you know, we may win or lose on the field, but we always win at the tailgate. Mm-hmm. We talked a little bit about prepping people for the tailgate last week.
And no one died, so that's a win.
That is a win. We had no fatalities at our tailgate.
Good. Is that like 11 years running?
It is, in fact, 11 years running. No fatalities yet, which is good. The neat thing is we've been doing this tailgate for quite some time, but it's still every time you kick it off for a new season, you try and add some new things. There's this fear and trepidation about how things are going to work. This year, the pirate ship, which we have at the tailgate, has been upgraded in the sound system, which is terrific. What it also did was draw more power, so we had some problems with the power, which was really the only technical difficulty
right.
we had. But on the upside, we had a great turnout for the One Voice tailgate. We ended up raising just over $1,500,
nice.
Which is a 50% increase on our average from last year. So even though I thought that the stands looked a bit Spartan, which was shocking to me, to be honest, given what's going on. In fact, I took a picture and tweeted it. You may have seen it up in the press box. Up in the East Side 300s, where the stanchions for the lights created mm-hmm. a shadow,
people
were clustered
in that row,
yeah, because it was probably hot as balls up there.
Yeah,
But at any rate, the tailgate was amazing. I want to thank you guys. The charity last week, was One Voice, and Paul's project was The Collection. This week, we will be tailgating again at 11 a.m. is when it will open, 3316 West Ohio. Go to our website at whatthebuck.net. /tailgate for all the details. I will tell you that the charity this month or this tailgate is the Spring for domestic abuse victims. We are also collecting toiletries and diapers, so you can bring all of that stuff. We'll collect those things, get them over to the Spring.
Adult diapers, because I've got some of those that I don't use
all
the time.
Bring what you need.
Okay.
Bring what you got. We'll take what
I
you
got
have.
Them from a friend of mine. She was an astronaut.
Wow.
Yeah, she was driving from Houston to Cape Canaveral, and she didn't want to stop before she killed her husband.
I don't know.
Wait a second. That really wasn't my friend.
That's totally not true.
Don't tell me you don't know that story.
No, I don't.
That's one of the greatest stories in the history of American pop. The jealous astronaut's wife who drove and wore adult diapers.
I got nothing.
So she didn't have to stop?
No, I got nothing.
Really?
Honestly, I don't.
Somebody in the message board. I mean, is that your message board?
Sure, our chat room.
What do you call it, chat room?
Chat room, sure.
Please verify that
they're
I'm not going
They're all saying hi to each other in the chat room and asking what you're babbling about.
Whatever.
I don't know. At any rate, we'll hear this story soon. But before we hear that story, Cheryl just said, wow. Like, even she's astonished by this story.
It's a true story.
Okay, sure. Look, Google it. Or Bing it. Google or whatever it. Apple's equivalent is. Siri it. I want to thank Bill Curry Ford, the folks out there, obviously being our name sponsor for the tailgate and being great partners. I want to thank the folks at Steakhouse Elite. I want to thank Tito's Vodka. And I want to thank Pepin Distributing. We have got a great set of sponsors out there at the tailgate, and it's made for a terrific event. Ren Dax just said you're correct. It's a true story. Don't play.
Thank you.
Do not play audio off your gimpy ass phone into the microphone.
I was going to play Siri for you so you
believe me. No. It's bad enough that half the time you can't use a microphone now. I don't know what happened. You stopped doing radio and you don't know how to use a mic anymore, but we'll fix it.
I'm used to professional mics.
That's funny. I've been in the studio that you work from.
not homemade ones.
Yeah, okay.
What is this, from your karaoke machine?
Dude, listen, I've been where you work at CSB. I've got more gear in here than you have at that school.
I'm talking about at CBS.
Oh, yeah, I remember those days. Yeah. So also Coca-Cola. I want to thank Coca-Cola for the help they've given us this year as well. So this week is going to be a burger bar. We're going to try and set the record, but Guinness was afraid. They wouldn't let us try and set the Guinness burger bar record, so they wouldn't approve our attempt. But we're still going to do a burger bar with Steakhouse Elite Burgers and all the toppings, and we'll have crazy
toppings. Wait, what's the record?
I don't know what the record was.
But what's the point? I don't understand what the you were trying to attain.
We were trying to attain the largest burger bar at a sporting event tailgate. So it's make your own burgers, that sort of thing. So
is
people
that
through.
Actually a category?
Apparently it is.
Really?
And we submitted for it, and we could not get the approval. There was some pushback. We submitted all of our stuff. I will take the tact that they're scared of us, because that makes us look cool.
You should probably ride a moped.
Why would I do that?
Don't you remember when we were kids and we looked at the Guinness World Book of Records, the two twins that rode the mopeds?
No, what are these obscure references you're
dropping? Somebody will remember.
Jesus, Ren Daxwell, he's the only one who knows
what
you're talking
about. You and I should get on mopeds and wear plaid shirts and cowboy hats.
Big Hero C says the diaper story is true, too, which means Ren Dax is not wrong. Now you guys figure out this moped story while we start talking about some real things.
I would tell you the category is the two heaviest twins. That was the world record.
Well,
you're not
big enough. I appreciate you lumping yourself into the category of fat guy, but you're not.
I'm saying you might be enough for 1.5, and I'm the half.
Fair enough. All right, let's talk football. You guys on the chat room, you've got your drink words ready, hopefully, because there's going to be a lot of, I suspect, heat about the Rams game. This was not the way any of us had predicted it would go.
By the way, I'm not picking the Bucks to win another game. They will, but I'm not going to pick them anymore.
Sure.
They've let me down 2 weeks in a row.
Understandable.
Like, I look foolish.
You're a shamed or a scorned person. I get it.
Love
it. At any rate, let's review a couple of things about the Rams game. Now, you had predicted something really, really impressive. ASJ was going to be the offensive player of the game.
And he was. He was very offensive now, starting Friday morning.
Twitter had quite a bit of fun with you on that.
He would have been, by gosh. Look at what Cameron Brate did.
Cameron Brate had a good game. He had the one drop early. Nice. He had the one drop early. And then he also had an opportunity late in the game, which we'll talk about that last possession, because I know a lot of people are very heated about the last possession. A lot of folks feel a timeout should have been called. I know that Coach came out and discussed what I tweeted about during the last minutes of the game. The Rams were in a very interesting defensive alignment, a 4-5-2, which you don't see often in the NFL. There were gaps all over the place. We quite literally left that game on the field on 4 plays out of 6.
Mm-hmm.
4. Now, that does include Jameis's last scramble. So you can say, well, he couldn't have gotten in anyway, because by the time he broke through the line of scrimmage, even if he had not hesitated, if he had just broke for the end zone, they had a spy. The spy makes a one-on-one tackle out in the field. 9 times out of 10 on the quarterback. I get that. So 3 times, he had Cam Brate breaking inside on a skinny post. Cam Brate gets illegal contact downfield on the 3-yard line, but doesn't even take advantage of it and square in to make the catch. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm not going to tell you, because Scott's writing a story about it for tomorrow, but there's more to that with Cameron Brate.
Okay, sure.
I mean, it should have been a penalty.
Yeah, it definitely should have been. It was illegal contact. It should have been on the 3-yard. Well, illegal contact's a 5-yard and a first down, but still.
Right.
It definitely should have been a penalty. We had the play before where we had another opportunity to hit, in this case, Mike, when he was open, and we didn't make that throw. And then Vincent Jackson on a play that had been set up after Vincent's drop. And listen, I know there's going to be a lot of discussion about Vincent Jackson. There was before last game, too. Vincent Jackson's drop on that final drive pisses me off. I love Vincent Jackson as a human being. I think he's a prince among men. I don't think he's played his best football this season. I don't know why. And maybe you guys from Pewter Report have some insight to that. I would love to get some. That pass, when he runs his little square in, settles down in the zone that exists in this 4-5-2, and Jameis delivers the football above his right shoulder, it was not too high. And I don't want to hear anyone tell me it was too hard. At that distance, I don't care how strong an arm Jameis Winston has, he cannot throw it too hard for Vincent Jackson to catch it there. It is a drop.
$9.7 million salary. You're not one of those guys that say, well, because you make more money Actually, you know what? I am one of those guys. If you're a veteran leader of a football team who's been in the league this long and you're making that kind of money, you're being paid to make that catch. If that's Cameron Brate making league minimum, you know, you still make that catch, but you're not beating him up as bad.
Yeah, and that's a good qualifier, Mark, because I was going to say, no, your job description, right? Wide receiver, tight end, catch the ball. But you're right. You're not going to beat them up quite as badly. You expect Vincent Jackson. Now, I know, and in the chat room saying, well, Vince has never had great hands, and that's true. He never has had great hands. This catch did not require great hands. Mm-hmm. This was pitch and catch.
I will say, and again, I'm not trying to defend Vincent because he will tell you he should have made that catch. And I don't know if he got around too slow, if the ball came a little bit too soon, but watch it on the All-22 again. He's a little late getting turned around to get squared up to catch the ball. Again, it hits your hands. You got to make the catch. You're making $9.7 million. You got to make the catch. You are a captain. You have a big C on your chest. You have been under scrutiny the last couple weeks for your performance. This was an opportunity to silence all of that.
Absolutely. And I did watch the All-22 a number of times because one of our writers, Jason Del Torre, said that he felt like the ball was out too hot.
Go Volunteers.
Sure. The ball was out too hot, and I watched it enough times. Vincent came out, settled. Even had a chance to dip his knees a bit to get ready. Absolutely. This was absolutely on Vincent Jackson. Now, the other play that I thought was on Vincent, too, I thought he got alligator arms.
Absolutely.
He got alligator arms, but he couldn't have made the catch anyway. Well, I went back and watched from behind on coach's film. It was too high. I don't care if you protect your ribs if you can't make the catch, right? Normally, my instinct is like, at least try, right? Lay out,
but
try
I mean,
and make
that,
the catch.
Can you really make that determination that quick?
I don't know. But
you
got
to go for it.
It turned
you
out.
You got to go for it.
It turned out when I watched it 36 times and kept measuring and doing physics. I'm like, yeah, if he was 9'3", he might have been able to get it. But
it was a terrible, terrible throw.
Terrible throw.
I asked Dirk about that specifically. He said sometimes
you're wrong, Ren.
In a two-minute drill, in a hurry-up type offense, quarterback wants to throw the ball a little hard.
Yep.
You know what I mean? They get eager, they throw hard,
absolutely.
And the ball tends to sail. And we've seen that with Jameis with most of his balls that are inaccurate. A lot of times they're high. He gets maybe a little too anxious to get that throw there. It lets it go. If you watch that throw, and I watched the throw more so than Vincent's route. By the way, cover two beater. Dirk had that play set up perfectly.
Oh, absolutely.
They didn't call timeout. I understand why they didn't, because they knew what they were going to be in, and he'd been trying to set that play up. And there was the opportunity for it, and Jameis just flat-out missed that.
Absolutely. And that's what – so a lot of folks are like, well, the Rams haven't scored a touchdown since 1943, and they come out and score – they score all these – make all these scores against us. Doesn't matter. None of that matters. The Seahawks couldn't score on them last week, and we were scoring left and right. I mean,
no, it does matter, though.
Why?
It
why does that matter?
Because you just said it. They haven't scored since 1943. No. Look, you – as an organization, when you allow – Case Keenum to beat you twice and Austin Davis before that, and you're in a five-game losing streak to a guy who is a perennial 7-9 football coach. It matters that you give up 30 points in that game. Now, they scored 37. Seven of them came on the turnover. That's 30 points. That is 29 – I mean, not 20. I'm in bad math. 19 more – wait, 21 more than they had scored the entire season. I mean –
Who cares?
What do you mean, who cares? The defense is being we're talking about Vincent Jackson being paid $9.7 million to make that catch. This defense is being paid $64 million collectively to stop the Rams from scoring 30 points. A bad offense at home, opening day, everything in the world to play for, an opportunity to go 2-1 and stay in contention for the NFC South. It does matter.
What I'm saying doesn't matter is the continual thing that we do here in this town. I'm sure we do it elsewhere. I don't live in other towns. Of looking back and thinking that the past is somehow a burden on that game. It's not.
It's
Jeff Fisher's ineptitude means...
No, it's okay.
It means
we can
nothing.
Go explicit this it time. Means, I don't care.
It means fucking nothing, guys. This defense's job is to let them score less points than we do. Offensive job is to score more points than they do. Offense was down on what? The 17-yard line when Jameis gets ripped from behind because Donovan Smith has yet another bad game. We don't talk enough about how bad a game
Donovan
Smith
is. I think he had a bad game.
Really?
No.
Three holds and a false start.
He didn't have three holds in that
game. Twice.
He did not have three holds in that game.
Really?
No.
I know there were two because I just rewatched it before you got here.
I'm telling you, he's going against a tremendous athlete
in
Robert
know.
Quinn.
And he never got made to look
like... And in 76 plays, he has two bad plays. I don't count
all the other
false
plays
start.
Were good
doesn't matter.
All the other ones were good.
They were effective because Jameis Winston did not get hit by him. By his guy, Jameis said it after the game. He touched me one time. In actuality, he touched my arm, and it was my fault because I had too deep of a drop.
Too deep of a drop?
He was 10.5 yards deep.
I'm going to go back and watch
Jameis
that. There's
said
no
it.
Freaking way.
Yeah, absolutely. Jameis said it, and Dirk said it. Dirk said it again
a
today.
A five-step drop. Well, ten and a half steps, that's still fine.
Dirk said it again today. He was way too deep on his drop. He's
very
gotta
interesting.
Be, you know what Robert Quinn's move is. It's a speed.
Absolutely.
You've got to know that. And you know, Jameis said it on Sunday. Dirk said it again today. You can look at the press conference from today. It was in there. Again, reiterated that he was too deep on his drop.
That's very. I'm going to go back and look at that. I did not notice that.
It wasn't his best game by any stretch.
And does Donovan Smith lose that game for us? No, but I also don't think a single person loses a game for someone in this league, right?
I don't know.
The defense.
Roberto Aguayo. I'm just kidding.
No, and see, we'll talk about
that, right?
Yeah. So Roberto Aguayo is going to be someone that's going to get a lot of crap because guess what? He's a kicker. He's supposed to kick and make the field goals.
Mm-hmm.
He misses, you know, by a sliver. That hurts because all of a sudden we start going, okay, well, let's go for two instead of one. It's not because they're afraid of him kicking.
And
it's
you go
math.
For two twice. When you shouldn't have, because then Jameis, they're kicking a field goal from the 15-yard line. Jameis isn't getting sacked or caught from behind by Robert Quinn. Now, that's
that play,
based on if you think that Roberto's going to make that
well,
kick.
But that play, and I, what down was it on? I can find, I got the play sheets. Do you remember what down that play was on? It was on third, wasn't it?
Maybe second, because they should have had two more tries.
They should, yeah, okay, so it was second.
Had they called timeout
worst
at some point.
Worst case scenario, that play, right,
mm-hmm.
was a 10-point swing, right? If we make the
yes.
field goal. Right, we're up three. Instead, we go down seven on that swing. That play mm-hmm. should have been the game. The Bucks of old, that would have been it.
Right.
Wrap. Game over.
Yep.
They fought back. And at the game, it was interesting. And this is something I want to spend some time talking about with our fans who aren't able to go to this game. Right? That lightning was going to come. We were sitting there, most of us who grew up
saw
in Florida, we saw it coming.
Hour.
We're like,
yep.
holy shit, this is going to, it's yep. going to be biblical. Right? And it eventually showed up. The play before the play of the game. And I couldn't believe that every official down there wasn't going, guys, can we just get this play in?
Mm-hmm.
Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You come out, and I thought everything is stacked against
mm-hmm.
the Bucks here. The Rams have rested. They've had a chance to recoup. They've had a chance to figure this out. It's not a particularly tough conversion. Right? Bucks, you know, all of the momentum gone, gas.
Right.
Half the stadium left before they stopped
Got
letting
it.
People leave.
Yep.
The 18 people who remained, that's not true. There were a lot more than that.
They were the loudest. They were the
They
whole,
were as loud as yep. the whole place was.
It was
absolutely phenomenal.
Both Cutter and Monken both mentioned that it was the loudest in that game was when they came back out of the tunnel on that third down.
It was phenomenal. And then for the defense to get the stop, right? Then the offense to march down the field with absolute authority,
mm-hmm.
right? You felt like there was something different. And while I'm not trying to be a rosy guy, because there's certainly right. a lot of crap down there that I don't like. I hate that we lost to the Rams, who I think we should have beaten, right? That same old Bucks thing that I'm seeing on Twitter and I saw on Twitter and all this sort of constant stuff. And I hear, you know, my UPS guy.
I saw that on the very first touchdown the Rams scored. Same old Bucks. Why am I watching this
yep.
blank?
Yep, absolutely.
I was like, really?
It is absolutely ridiculous. It's absolutely, this is not the same old Bucks.
Right. No, right? They're not. And that's why I still have hope for this season.
Yeah, and I love Coach Smith coming out. Because when you look at the defense, and I'm sure you did because you watched the All-22 as well. First of all, a couple things I wanted to note, and I want to see if you're in alignment with me on this. Gerald McCoy was on fire at mm-hmm. times in this game. Mm-hmm. His get-off is ridiculous at times. Mm-hmm. Will Golston showed up big time.
Finally.
Right?
I don't think he had two very good games until Sunday.
I agree.
Sunday.
Yep. And we had said that. Where are you? Well, all of a sudden, Will Golston showed up.
Coach Smith, and he didn't say this, but I guarantee you, he went to those guys and said, guys, we don't have any pressure from the outside. We're going to have to get it, you know, up the middle a little bit or over on the left side with you, Will. But as far as, you know, Jacquees being out who am I thinking? The Ayers not being in the game.
Right.
And the fact that they knew they were going to have to play, you know, Lambert because he's a bigger guy. They
right.
knew based on the personnel, Dirk talked about this the other day, that based on the personnel, they were going to have to go bigger. And we talked about this last week,
yep.
I believe, that, you know, you can't have two 245-pound ends against a team like the Rams who are going to just run the shit out of the ball.
Especially when the officiating crew is not going to call block in the back on cracks. There were three different plays.
Didn't they call one on the Buccaneers?
They called
early
it on the
game?
Bucks
right.
early. They called a clip,
right.
which never gets
right.
called.
On break, yes.
Right? And yet on the Rams, there were three different plays where they bring mm-hmm. a receiver down, and one of them was on Conte. And I fell back because Conte had a typical Conte game. Moments of joy and
yep.
moments of despair.
Yep.
Times where he was way the hell out of position and blew things. Other times where he made tackles, and you're like, how did he do that?
Right.
But one of the times, he's down there waiting to make the tackle, and he gets hit between the two and the three with like a 2x4.
Yeah.
And I was like,
how do you not
Where's
see
the
that?
Back judge? How
sure.
do you not make the call? At any rate, the other thing on the defensive side, you know, Levante, after a relatively disappointing thing, Levante shows up all over the field. Mm-hmm. Quan shows up all over the field, even though, you know, Kwon is in perfect position to make the tackle on that touchdown run going towards the south end zone, and just gets run over.
Yeah.
Right. You hate it because they did everything right. You know, and this is a constant theme that we're going to talk about through this game. This game, in my opinion, and a lot of people are giving Cutter some shit, right? This game wasn't lost by planning. This game wasn't lost by scheme on offense. Now, mm-hmm. you could argue maybe on defense there was some because we left safeties alone, and our safeties, there's only one word to define them, and that is terrible. Our safeties from top to bottom are terrible. Again, maybe great people. They probably pet puppies. They don't play football really well.
We've talked about we talked
knew
about
it coming
that
into
coming,
the season.
This was
there's
a
nothing
huge
changed.
Weakness on
the there
team.
Hasn't been any magic.
Right.
If you're going to leave, okay. If you're going to leave Tavon Austin one on one with Keith Tandy, don't even snap the ball.
Right.
Just give him seven points and keep the time on the clock.
No, I agree. And my question, and I didn't ask the question, but in my mind, the first thing was why was Keith Tandy in the football game? Somebody had to have been hurt. Why in the world would Keith Tandy be in there at that point in that crucial
well,
junction?
Well,
of the
you
game?
Could argue it's because McDougal had been so bad that they thought it couldn't be any worse. Because
you know,
McDougal had played in a season already bereft with bad games.
The thing is, they've seen McDougal and Conte play and train. They knew what they had, and they're saying,
there's
and still
better.
Keith Tandy's second team. There's a reason.
Yeah.
Did you ever in your life wish Major Wright was back on this football team like I did Sunday at one point? So I'm not joking. Where is Sabby Piscatelli?
He's wrestling. He's got to
bring
be
your tights and cape. It couldn't be any worse.
Couldn't we get some weed for the other dude, Tanar Jackson?
Bring
I
him
mean,
back. They've God. Josh Gordon can get reinstated. Tanar should be fine.
You would think. Now, in the chat room, there's a lot of people angry. They have the right to say what they want because they're fans and they pay money to see the game. You guys know how we are at What the Buck. You guys have the right to do what you whatever you want to do. I'm never going to candy coat my opinion to make you guys happy. Be mad. Kick your dog. Do what you got to do. But the fact of the matter is, on the football field, this is about execution. You can be mad and not see progress, and that's okay. Lots of fan bases have people come and go because they don't have the intestinal fortitude to stay with the team through bad times. Cleveland stays with their team. Our group disappears for 5, 10, 15 years until there's a Super Bowl, and then they come back.
Right. I'm going to bring up a point that about we're talking about the defense, that, and I brought it up to Coach Smith today. But,
sure.
I think it was Monday, maybe Tuesday, Trent Dilfer was on with 620.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, say what you want about Trent as a quarterback, but I really like a lot of his analysis. And he rewatched part of the game. He says, I know fans are going to get upset about this because they feel it's just coach speak. He said, but this defense isn't as far off as you think they are. This wasn't a case of multiple people breaking down and making mistakes. It was more a case of each guy taking a turn at the worst possible time to make a mistake. I brought it up to Coach Smith today. He said, you know what? I never get too high or too low. He says, but I can assure you we're a lot closer than people think. He said, because I've been on defenses where we've shut the opponent out, and you go back and look at the game film, and you see seven or eight plays where there's total breakdowns in the defense, but the offense didn't exploit it for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And he said, I've been on the other end of things where we've lost games like Sunday, where you see a handful of those things, and unfortunately, it just happened to be, we talk about it all the time, the chess match, right? All right, Coach Smith called a defense expecting the Rams to do something else, and they get the touchdown, Tavon to over Keith Tandy. But I thought Trent made a good point there, and I agree. Listen, this team is dead last in the league as far as points given up, I believe. Maybe 31st, but I think they're 32nd. That's not an improvement over Lovie Smith's defense. That was the big thing we talked about besides the 70% completion percentage. But when
yeah,
you look at overall rankings, yeah. Lovie Smith's defense was better. But I feel better about this defense overall. And talking to Coach Smith today, who I think is a genuinely good, honest guy. And I've been in press conferences where I've seen the coach speak where you know it's total bullshit. All right. But I didn't feel that with Coach Smith today. And maybe I'm wrong, but I just don't see him as that kind of guy that's going to BS the fans. You know, he had that look like he wanted to say, you know, it's going to happen. He feels very comfortable. He thought it would take a quarter of the season for guys to really feel 100% comfortable in this defense. Still going to have some growing pains after that. He reiterated that again today. You know, quarter of the season. He says, we're closer than you think. But he agreed with what Trent said. It was a case of, you know, breakdowns at the wrong time. He did say, I'm not going to ever throw a specific player under the bus and start doing that. He says, it all falls back on me. For whatever reason, whatever you want to say, he said, put it all back on me because ultimately I'm the guy who's responsible for those breakdowns. If they make mistakes, it's because I didn't teach them or I didn't drill them or I didn't explain it clear enough.
Well, and that's good of him to take the blame. He certainly cannot be on there showing how to break down and make a tackle. He can't show them how to be in position on coverage. But that's what the offseason is for. I have no problem with him making the comment about a quarter of the season, right? Four games in, you're going to make those adjustments.
Oh, wait, let me ask it. He did point this out. He said, I don't remember the exact words. The press conference is up on Buccaneers.com, but I believe he said something. I know he said something along the lines of, you know, this defense, and you and I have talked about it, and we know it, and I think most fans can figure it out too. There is nothing in this defense that is like Lovie Smith's defense, as far as the terminology, really a lot of the scheme too. I mean, there's only so many things you can do in football, right? But it is completely foreign to these guys. I mean, they're being asked to do things completely different than what Lovie Smith asked these guys to do. And again, I'm a glass half full guy. I mean, I was frustrated Sunday like everyone else was, but I do see some progress on the defensive side of the ball, regardless of the fact that they're no better statistically, maybe even worse than they were last year at this time.
Yeah, and it's like we mentioned before, it's picking your poison, right? Whether it's the death of 1,000 pricks, right? Where it takes forever, but they eventually just continue
wearing dying by pricks.
It's so troublesome, but... Or it's like this, big plays, right? 43-yard play, 50-yard play, 30-yard runs, right?
Third and 18 runs up the middle.
Missed tackle by Chris Conte.
He said, they had waved the white flag.
Yeah.
We knew what they were going to do, and we couldn't stop it. And I made this point, and I don't know if this is accurate because I'm not that smart or wouldn't even know where to look. I'd have to get Greg Allman to do this for me, but... There are teams that I suspect can go an entire season without giving up a 3rd and 18 or a 3rd and 17 or a 3rd and 19. Buccaneers managed to do it twice in one game. That's not easy to do.
What was amazing to me about the first one, I think that you're referring to, which was the run by random runner.
Mm-hmm. They just found a guy out of the stands.
Yeah, they gave him a helmet.
Yes.
He actually had his own helmet. It's not a legit illegal one. They put
it's
a
one of those that the kids get.
Yeah, it's a Sears and Roebuck one with the kicker face mask.
Yes.
He makes the run. Conte runs past him. Stops, turns around, and then chases him down and makes the tackle.
Right. 1 yard past where it needed to be.
Jesus Christ, where are you running so fast? All you have to do is stop him short
break
of 1,000
down.
Yards.
I agree.
Oh.
Very frustrating, and nobody's more frustrated than Coach Smith about this. I mean, it is. We talk about this, and we brought this up before, Derek. I don't know about the players. I'm not going to say that the players are always more frustrated than the fans, because I think there are guys in the league, and I'm not saying on the Buccaneers, who are in this for the glam and the fame and the fortune and the paycheck and those kind of things, and they can lose a game and go home and not think about it. Now, there's obviously guys on this football team that we know aren't like that, but these coaches, as bad as the fans feel, I mean, they feel it worse because this is their livelihood. This is what they do for a living. They are being exposed and judged based on how their players play. So, you know, nobody's more frustrated, I think, than Mike Smith right now at this point. Fans may not agree with that, but I believe that, knowing Coach Smith as well as I do.
Now, there's been a request to transition into how good the offensive line played through injuries against a very good front seven. You mentioned it briefly earlier. I have beaten up Donovan Smith a bit. But that's okay, because I agree that in general, against this defense, throwing the ball 843 times, because our run-pass ratio was a little bit off.
You think 58 to like 23?
Just a bit.
Yeah.
It was Gruden-esque
smidgen.
In 40 mile-per-hour wind ratios. But, you know, the point of the story is this offensive line with Panfield going down, with Holly being injured, right, Evan Smith running and playing. I think at one time he played two positions simultaneously. We had four offensive linemen.
Yep.
Pretty damn good showing. By the beef.
If somebody would have said to me going into this game, the Buccaneers were going to have 500 yards of offense, they were going to score, three touchdowns, they were going to hold Todd Gurley under 100 yards, they were going to convert their third down conversions at 50% for this game, I would have went and I would have dug up that Confederate money in my backyard. I would have went to the pawn shop, traded it in, then drove to Vegas on my moped or on those mini bikes that you and I were driving, which I tweeted that picture out.
Wonderful.
And bet everything I had that the Buccaneers were going to win this football game.
Yeah.
And I would have lost. And I probably would have lost my mini bike.
Well, that's a shame because then it would have been really sad. But offensive line did a great job. One point I'd like to bring up, the loss of a true blocking tight end definitely hurt. And the loss, the absence of a back who can block kills us.
The absence of a running back.
No, so
Charles Sims is not a running back. Charles Sims had 140 yards in that game, but 123 of them were behind the line of scrimmage when he's doing the...
You know what his yards per carry were?
You know. No, but...
4.2.
Well, I mean, he had that long one in the fourth quarter that certainly skewed that.
Oh,
but
so
we don't count that one.
We
count it, but you can't... I mean, the guy who had one carry for 18 yards has an 18-yard average? Or are they going to bench Gurley for him? No. You have to put those numbers in perspective, too. Charles Sims is not a natural, fluid running back. He's not a tackle-breaking kind of guy. He plays a perfect role.
You should ask Atlanta about that.
I will. He is a perfect complement to Doug Martin and a change-of-pace type back for this offense. But he runs too upright. And people in the organization know it as well.
Well, there's a reason
he's
second.
And I think we're going to see Rodgers see more carries in this game.
There's a reason he's second in the depth chart, right? And when Rodgers was in there, he wasn't overly impressive, but he only got 5 carries, right? Sims only got 13 carries. On the 13 carries, he had a 4.2 average. Gurley had, what, 27 carries and a 3.1 yard average. They were committed to the run.
So are you saying Charles Sims is better than Todd Gurley?
Not at all. What I'm saying is he's not a horrible running back. Like, I think that there's not a binary here.
He's not a horrible running back, but he's not a...
He's not our starting running back.
He doesn't look comfortable. Remember Michael Pittman always looked like the cartoon guy where the feet's going too fast and then all of a sudden he takes off? Charles Sims looks like he's, you know, doing the tire drills at a CrossFit deal. You know, in and out, or the agility thing.
I agree.
There's too much dancing. And he left yards on the field. And I don't know that he's ever going to get better at that. Again, I like him as a complimentary back. I just don't like him as a feature back. And I think Rodgers is going to get more carries this week.
Well, and I don't have a problem with Rodgers getting carries. I have a problem with Sims getting carries. Someone's got to get carries, though.
Well, and Dirk talked about that. And I've got a story up today. I think I did. I can't even remember. We got a lot of stuff up today. But Dirk says, he understands they've got to run the ball more.
Yeah.
And he joked today about having little Dirk on his shoulder and his dad on the other shoulder because he wants to throw the football, and they're both sitting there saying, you got to run. But he did make a point. When you start getting down by more than one score, you tend to want to push things. Look, technically, there was enough time in that 2-minute last drill. Well, they could have tried to run the ball a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. With the timeouts. You know, absolutely.
With the timeouts.
And especially against that defense. And it's funny you say, I'm glad you say that, because I thought about that real time and I'd totally forgotten. They were so deep, and they were deep all day.
Yeah.
And in fact, Chris mentioned it on the show last week how deep their safeties played typically. When they went to that goofy 4-5-2 where they had their linebackers across, their entire second level was 12 yards deep at times.
Look, they were playing, I don't know if you noticed this, and you probably did, but go back and look at the all 22. They weren't going to give up the deep pass that day. Their safeties were 18-22 yards off the ball all day long. And I thought Jameis did an okay job of taking what the team gave him. I think he rushed some of those throws late in that game. Part of it was because of the fact they let 16 seconds run off or whatever it might have been. When you had the timeouts, again, they tried, all right? If Vincent makes that catch, not the one in the end zone, but
the one
if he makes that catch, things might change completely.
Sure.
I think Jameis's worst throw on that drive was the cross to Sims. Yeah. Sims might score on that.
He might.
You know?
He might, because he breaks tackles downfield.
Right.
He just doesn't break them.
At the line of scrimmage. He doesn't.
I'm just picking on you. It's fine.
Okay. Pick on me all you want.
It's all fun.
Film don't lie.
The eye in the sky don't lie.
It's true.
So, Thomas Sandberg in the chat room brings up that they gave up on running when we were up 20-10 as well, right? This offense likes to throw the ball because when they're on, they throw the ball well, right? They move the ball, and you know, Gruden for years got shit for that too, right? Why do you throw the ball so much? Well, because it works.
And listen, let's face it, the strength of the Rams were in the front seven.
Yeah.
All right, and that, I mean, so if you feel you have matchups that you can exploit in the secondary, you know, I don't give a shit if you throw 75 times in a game if you can continue to get first downs and first downs and first downs. I don't have a problem with throwing if it works, but when it doesn't work, then you can second-guess yourself. And Dirk second-guessed himself. I thought the most interesting thing that came from Dirk this week, he admitted, maybe I should have called timeout, but he had a play set up, and at first I didn't really believe it, but then you go back and look at it. That play was that one to Vincent.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? That should have been a score, game over. But he said he second-guesses the interception that Jameis threw to Charles Sims. Because at that point, 2.5 minutes left in the first half, you're up 20-10. The Rams essentially maybe are about ready to give up the heat and all of that things.
Oh, yeah.
And that little spark, that little momentum.
Tip, interception, touchdown.
Yep. And, you know, that's 2 weeks in a row a ball bounced off of Sims' hands that ended up in another guy's hand. I don't think it was a bad throw. Trent Dilfer brought this up, too, during his commentary. I'm going to find that blog, and I'm going to put it up on Pewter Report tonight or in the morning, because I think it's a really good breakdown. But he looked at that. He said that was that was the worst throw Jameis made in the game. Worst decision he made, because he checked into that And the Rams checked out of what they were in, and he didn't check again.
Yep.
And tried to make that throw, and he called, and I can't remember what he said, cloud nine or cloud seven. You can't. That's quarterbacking 101. You don't make that throw right there because you're going to have two defenders on the one guy in the flat, and that's what happens a lot of times. If it's not a pick six, you get a tip ball, and it's
I always
the other
find
way.
It interesting how good a commentator and an analyst Trent has become
yeah.
after being such a bad mm-hmm. quarterback. Because I agree, like. His analysis, I usually find to be very good.
I learned something when I listened to him.
But there's a lot of folks and a lot of truth to those who can do and those who
right.
can't teach, right? So that's okay. He can still be very, very smart. What was interesting is I forgot who did the real-time analysis on the – because I watch broadcast some, then I go to condense, and I switch over to coaches. Like, mm-hmm. I flip back and forth. I think it was Ron Pitts by his voice, but I don't know if that's who it was. He called it, right? He's like, listen, that cornerback is doing – he's checking out. And if you see the corner – throw the corner or whatever was this little phrase he used. In my world, because I played quarterback for a while for fun, right, and I think a lot about quarterbacks, I've coached quarterbacks. If I'm a quarterback and I release the ball and it hits your hands, I have obviated my responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
I did my job.
Yeah.
You catch the – but at the same time, that one, that was real close. I still think that there's some shared blame there because he should have known not to make that throw.
Right, especially when the Rams adjusted because they did show something, and he was probably smart at the original time to make that because that's a relatively safe throw.
You would
consider it, and Sims has pretty reliable hands. I don't really blame him on the one in Arizona as much, but you know that was you know I like Trent because he pointed out something that I didn't even think about.
Right,
didn't even think about. I'm just not that smart. But he could break down and see exactly what happened in the checks and the coverage and the exact coverage that the Rams were in that situation and knows that, like he said, that's quarterbacking 101. I got to find that thing on 620. I'll try and put that up today.
Okay. All right. Well, we've beaten the hell out of the Rams game. Listeners out there, if you've got other things you want to talk about the Rams game, drop in there. I know Skip is in the depths of despair. He felt we were winning this game for sure. He's very frustrated. He's very much anti-Sims as a running back, which is okay. Like, I get it. The thing that I don't understand is, you've got to let the guy get a chance to run the ball. And I don't dislike Rodgers. You know that. When we got Rodgers, I was excited about that. I think that you can let those guys run the ball. This offensive line has found themselves a bit. It hurts to not have a single tight end who can block on this roster. It doesn't help that one of our tight ends also can't catch in cross. And when we use linemen as fullbacks, guys, and hopefully the offensive line coach saw the same thing on film that I saw real time and watched again on film, offensive linemen as fullbacks suck. They don't get drive. That's not what they're used to doing.
No, of course.
You'd rather use Akeem Spence as a fullback, Clinton McDonald, right? Use a defensive tackle. They're used to trying to get off, but we're not deep enough at the defensive line to risk an injury to a defensive lineman at fullback because we don't have a fullback on the roster.
Yep.
So you got Charles Sims trying to run behind another fat guy who can't move anyone.
And I don't know that Stocker's – I don't think Stocker's back this week. He was out again today.
If
they didn't practice on Thursday, chances of playing are slim to none. And so you're going to see the same guys out again this week.
Absolutely. And that's not good going against a Denver Broncos defense
that is absolutely
potent.
Yep.
At every position.
There's no weakness.
Right. You can't say, well, their strength is in the front seven. Right. We can really take advantage of their secondary.
If Jameis Winston throws for 450 yards this game.
He's offensive player of the week.
Of the year.
Yeah.
Greatest guy in the world. Elect him as mayor.
So let us, and we got a question from the chat room by Skip. What is the situation? Do you know the situation on injuries at all? Did you get any updates from the coaching staff?
They won't give you anything. I mean, we know what they are, but we don't know the severity or anything. I'll say this. Robert Ayers, I've seen him this week. He's in no boot or anything. Seems to be walking around fine, but he's not practicing.
Kick him in the ankle once or twice.
I saw Luke briefly last week. He actually had a cast on the leg. This week, no cast. Haven't seen Cecil, and I haven't seen Doug at all. But, I mean, you're not going to see a cast on a hamstring anyway.
Right. Well, you could put one. But
I mean, that would be kind of cool.
Dumb.
Yeah.
they'd be like bathing suit cast. It'd be awkward. Couldn't walk. He'd look like a Lego guy.
Yeah.
All right, let's transition to the Broncos. Obviously, everyone in the world's afraid of Von Miller. Aqib Talib is a story coming back as well. You got the match of Aqib Talib with Mike Evans. Going against a Bronco team headed by a second-year but young quarterback, Trevor Siemian, whose parents actually live in Orlando and maybe at our tailgate.
He's a Northwestern guy.
Maybe at our tailgate.
Friend of Danny Vitale.
I saw you guys had an article up. You got Danny Vitale doing some journalism for you. That's nice.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, that's cool. I didn't get a chance to read that article. I read the two on either side of it.
Right.
Because I kept trying to click the other one on mobile. It kept skipping back, and I kept going to the Vitale one. I was like, damn it. It wasn't your website's fault. It was the way it was rendering.
Probably your Android phone. Go ahead.
Could have been. But at any rate, you got a kid who's come in and butt fumble by... Right? No one else cares. He's come in here and played really good football.
Yeah.
If it weren't for Carson Wentz's story, Right, this kid would probably be the story of the first few games.
He should be. Gary Kubiak does a great job with quarterbacks. I mean, say what you want about him, you know, his time in Houston, but the guy's very, very good with quarterbacks, and he's done a great job with this young man. And, you know, they're not asking him necessarily to go win games, although I found it interesting that in the game against the Bengals last week on 3rd and 5, late in that game, they trusted him to go deep. You know what I mean? It's 3rd and 5. It's not the worst thing in the world if you punt. Trent Dilfer pointed that out as well when he was previewing the Broncos game. You know, Kubiak had confidence in this guy to throw that deep ball that sealed the win for the Broncos the other night. So for the other afternoon. So he's, again, they're not asking him to go out necessarily and win games. But you know what? They won a Super Bowl last year. Peyton Manning didn't win any of those games. I mean, he didn't win that Super Bowl. He had less than 200 yards offense, I think, in that game. So
he didn't hurt them.
You know, he didn't hurt them.
He won the Super Bowl the same way Trent Dilfer won one.
Yes, exactly.
Right. Yeah. So, and those rings still count.
They do.
But I mean,
stole one.
The point's a good one, right? You got an offense that's got a functional running game, some solid receivers, and a quarterback who is proficient mm-hmm. at each level of the game. He's mobile. He keeps the pocket. He extends the play a la Romo, right? And people don't give Romo any credit for this, but they should.
Right.
When he is not broken because mm-hmm. he's made of toothpicks. The guy extends plays. Aaron Rodgers does it all the time, right?
Paper mache, actually. I checked.
Yeah. Oh,
I did a DNA test.
Chris Chandler called and told you? Chrissy Everett. But he extends the play, and that's always a problem. And that's why our front four, or whoever the hell Mike decides to send. And by the way, last week, they ran a damn zone dog with Gerald McCoy dropping into the flat.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost had a vein or something in my head pop out. Like, I love zone dogs. I love them.
Right.
You don't take the one effective pass rusher that you have
off the field
and put him in coverage.
You know, I don't think they expected, and I think we talked about this last week.
Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition.
But no, I didn't. I don't think they really expected to get to Case Keenum last week, because they talked about it going into the week. They, you know, 2-3-step drops, get the ball out quick. We talked about it a little bit,
sure.
too. I kind of see, I mean, you know, they did have one sack
that
in the game.
That 18-yard drag they ran successfully 3 times was not a 2-step
yeah,
drop, get
true.
The ball out of his hand.
That's true.
It was a drop back and let him run across the entire defense
yeah.
and clear everyone out and then throw it into his chest plate.
Of course, that sidearm sucky throw that he threw right into Quan Alexander's hands was nice.
Well, that was nice. He almost threw another one too early in the game. All right, but we're not going to see that from Simeon this week, are we?
No, I don't think so. I mean, you know what? You hope that you can figure out a way to make him make a couple of those mistakes, because to me, that's the only way you win this football game. You're going to have to play a very, very good football game on your own, on both sides of the ball, and I think you're going to have to hope that the Broncos uncharacteristically make a few errors on their own. And it's possible. I mean, it's certainly a possibility. I don't know that. No, I'm not going to say that. I was going to say I don't know that the Broncos are unbeatable. I think it's going to be very, very tough for the Buccaneers to win this football game. It can happen, but I certainly wouldn't tell anybody to put any money on it.
Well, that's good, because if they listened to you or me the last 2 weeks, they would have lost money both
absolutely.
Weeks. But I always use my normal get-out-of-jail-free card. I'm always going to pick the Bucs, but it's always based on certain things happening. Last week, when we were at +2 turnover ratio, we're up 20-10 and dominating the game.
Yep.
Right? About to really, like you said, kind of shut the door mm-hmm. on it when that interception occurs towards the half, and then the air comes out of the whole thing.
And they came so close to making him kick an extra point, right? I mean, a field goal,
a
right?
Field goal. Yeah.
I mean, there were penalties on both sides. They got down, you know, they stopped them two out of the, you know, and then they let him get in from the one on third down or whatever it was. I mean, they came close, but God, that's the frustrating thing and the joy of football, too. Literally a game of inches, to use a terrible cliche, and those inches happened to go in their favor, and that was just such, again, you hold them to a field goal there, there's your 4-point difference.
Yeah, know. there's a
and
bunch
the
of
momentum too.
There's a bunch of points laying all over that field. Like we said, the 10-point play with the fumble, the kicks,
yeah.
right? The 2-point conversions that are terrible. If there was a problem with execution or not a problem with design, right? It was on 2-point conversions.
I'd have to look at those a little bit
Both
more.
Both of them looked
They weren't even close.
They
weren't even close. And you know what? Dirk is a proponent of 2-point conversions. I mean, that's something that he's, you know, he's a big fan of trying to do that, and that's maybe why he went for him probably a little earlier than he should have. I'm old school. I believe you go into the very last time if you need to tie the game, you know, that's when you do it. But when you start doing it in the third quarter, in the fourth quarter, you just never know how things are going to pan out. And again, they kick 2 extra points when we're counting on Aguayo to make them. Now it's a 37-34 game on that last drive, you know,
right.
instead of 37-32. And I have indigestion right now because
you're talking about Aguayo?
I had some amazing sausage and tomato gravy before I came. That's a very underrated dinner.
Tomato gravy?
What?
How is it not tomato sauce?
What? You don't know what tomato gravy is?
No, but let's not talk about that. We're talking about Bucks.
God, you're from
gross.
Polk County. Yeah. By the way, I found out Adarius Glanton, this is how bad a reporter I am, is a Lake Gibson grad, was born in Bartow. Just found that out today.
Wow.
What kind of guy, what kind of reporter am I?
Terrible.
Exactly.
Terrible.
I knew Mike James was from Haines City, though, or somewhere around there.
I think he is from Haines City,
yeah, he
actually.
Is. He's a Polk County guy, too. Yeah. Rick Brown doesn't let you forget the
no.
Polk County boys.
No, because he knows a lot of them. He don't live there, though.
he's in Wesley Chapel.
He's away, yeah, straight out of Wesley Chapel. All right, we have a question. We have to talk about Aguayo. What's up with Aguayo? You're a Florida State guy. Tell us what the situation is. Let us know whether we should be concerned or whether we should not be about having a kicker that we spent a second-round draft pick on that, if he had not been a second-round draft pick, would already have been cut twice.
You absolutely should be concerned. We talked about it back in the preseason when he had that struggle. You hope he bounces back from it. But you can't at this point. You're kind of stuck with a guy. You're married to this guy. They're not going to bring in another kicker. And now if he goes out and misses his next 10, that's something different. But he's not going to. He's going to be probably an up-and-down guy this year until he figures things out. And, look, the way that he's missing the ball, and, again, I don't know a whole lot about kicking. I kicked
a little bit
in high school. My son kicks. But when you're sneaking them through – just inside the left upright, and then you're missing them to the left, you know, there it's kind of like a golf swing. It has to do with the face of your foot, you know, and how it opens up. You know, it's a mechanical flaw. I don't think it's a mental flaw. I think it's a mechanical flaw, to be honest with you, because both those kicks, the extra point and the field goal, I believe, missed to the left. So he's got to figure that out. And I don't believe in this, and some coaches will tell you this. I actually had a coach tell my son this. Well, then compensate to the right, you know, if you're missing to the left, blah, blah, blah. That's not fixing the problem, right? That's like when you're getting ready to drive and you've been slicing all day and your buddy says, aim at the clubhouse over there over to your
right.
That's
the time you rip it straight.
And then you absolutely smoke the ball, right? Right through the parking lot.
You know, it's one of those things where kickers are either heroes or goats. It's always been true. And punters to a lesser degree, right? When your punter is shanking the ball or whatever, he gets a bunch of crap.
Why can't you say punter?
Yeah.
Sorry. I don't know how else you say it.
I don't know.
I do the
punter?
Country version punter.
I don't know.
At Scott any rate, Brantley version.
Right now, the angry man on the team is kicking the crap out of the ball, but Aguayo is not, and that's definitely a problem that's got to get straightened out sooner rather than later. Literally. Yep. We did have a comment in there about Noah Spence as well. Is anyone concerned about Noah Spence not producing? I think that because of his size, which we've been talking about all offseason.
Well, he was only on the field for
game,
12 plays in that game.
Right.
It's hard to produce in 12 plays.
Right, and he didn't produce in any of those 12 plays. If you're going to have a guy who's situational, like you're going to get a Dwight Freeney come back in who's playing at age 50, and he's a situational pass rusher, and I watched him the other night, and he comes in on like 9 plays and gets a sack and 3 pressures.
But he's also been in the league 15 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's you know, we cautioned against this. We've had people say that, predict that he was going to be the leading sacker on this team and be a double-digit sack guy. Look, it's 2011 since a NFL rookie defensive lineman had 10 or more sacks. It's been a long time. And I'm talking Buccaneers, I'm talking league-wide. So to expect him to come in and figure things out is, I mean, again, Donovan Smith, a second-year player, was, I would say, 73 out of 74, right? He gave up the one sack strip, whatever you want to call it. And it's still not good enough. So, and this is against a guy who is a very talented pass rusher. Noah Spence has none of the ability that Robert Quinn does at this point in his career. Potential, maybe, whatever you want to call it. So, to expect him to come and be this huge impact player, I think is unfair. The reason, and again, Mike Smith talked about this today, he said, we were in a lot of third and threes, third and fours, third and ones. The average... Mike's pretty big with stats. He said the average time to have a third and one is 1.5 times in a game. And I think he said we had third and one 5 times or something like that. And again, when you do that, you've got to, you know, it's a judgment on your personnel. If you have third and one, you're not going to put your 243-pound defensive end out there. And he said, though, if the Broncos do what they've shown, running mainly 3 wide receiver sets, then you're going to see a lot more snaps from Noah Spence. It was more based on how the Rams were lining up and their personnel.
Now, with regards to the Broncos, what do you foresee this week for the Buccaneers going against a team that has everything going for them on both sides of the ball? You know, a fan base that will probably be very pro-Bronco this week, I would guess, given how the Broncos travel.
Was happy to see not many Rams fans.
There were very few. Kidding aside, and we usually have a lot of away fans at our tailgate because we have a very friendly tailgate. We had to look. We have a drinking game we do called Shoot the Plank that Kurt does. And you go a Bucks fan versus a Rams fan. We had six.
Mm-hmm.
In the entire lot, six
I think
Rams
there might
fans.
Have only been eight in the stadium.
Yeah,
there's
it was
blue jerseys.
It was pretty astonishing. Now, the Broncos fans are going to be different. They're traveling in mass for this game.
And there's a lot of bandwagon people in this area.
Oh, sure.
That are pulling for the Super Bowl winning team.
Sure. So what do you see going in this week for the Bucs?
Like I said earlier, I think they're going to have to play, I'm not ever going to say a perfect game because no team does, but they're going to have to play better than they did in Atlanta, and they're going to have to try and get things straightened out on defense. They're going to have to hope that some of these guys that have taken turns making mistakes, if they do make the mistakes, they don't do it when the Broncos are potentially going to exploit it. I would like to see this is a game that if it were last week, I would have been happier with. If they played and had an opportunity to win the game at the end against the Broncos,
yes,
I'm okay with that.
Yes.
More so than with the Rams. So if that happens again this week, I think you can live with that. But I don't see the Buccaneers winning this game. I will say this. I believe we'll learn a lot about Dirk Koetter. People talk about, is he a coordinator? Does he have the makeup to make a coach? We'll see. I think this game will tell us a little bit about Dirk Koetter as far as, number one, getting his players to rebound after a tough loss.
Yep.
But more importantly, believing that they have a chance to win. Because if they go into that game wondering, they lost.
Yeah, they lose by 40.
You know, and they've got to go into this game believing they have an opportunity to win this football game. And I think we'll learn a little bit about Dirk Koetter and what his future may hold in the Bay Area. You know, if they go out and get blitzed, 40-7 like that Cardinals game, which I don't think was as bad as the 40-7 showed. But, I mean, if the score ends up being that, that's going to concern me a little bit about this organization and the direction that it's heading.
Well, fortunately, we know that we can always fire coaches quickly. So we know that that's an opportunity if we need to take it.
Is this a Richard Williamson year?
It could be.
One and done?
I just don't know. You know, because I hear that the coordinators look pretty good. Maybe we should get them before they get taken somewhere else.
Ah, Jimbo's coming.
Okay. There you go. There it is.
Yep.
There it is.
Go. First Florida State reference all
good
night.
Good God help us. All right. So Broncos game. My belief is, even though you're not a huge Charles Sims fan, and I don't really care whether it's Sims or Rodgers, I think that Dirk has got to use the run game to slow down this attack. And you got to be creative with it, right? You've got to be able to take those guys that are coming off the edge and beat them up a little bit. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't have tight ends to do that. Mike Evans, it's funny, in the article, I think it was on your site, talking about how he's a physical receiver. Talib was saying that in the conference call. I don't find Mike to be a particularly physical receiver. He may be physical before the catch, right, going for jump balls,
mm-hmm.
but he is a Rams receiver from the days of yore after he catches the ball because he lays down. And that's – go back, watch. I mean, how much yak does Mike Evans get?
I mean, I don't
when
know.
When contested?
I don't
None.
Know, but I don't see him giving his body up a whole lot. I mean, maybe I'm just not paying attention
yeah,
to
just,
it.
Yeah, just watch it this
okay.
game, right?
Yeah,
and it annoys me because I see him physically as someone who could be Julio Jones-esque. Like, Julio Jones is a unique talent. I'm not trying to say he should be Julio Jones.
By the way, my prediction at the beginning of the season that he would best Julio Jones in yardage this year. So far, I'm doing pretty
oh,
good
yeah.
still.
Oh, absolutely.
So
far, and still he's good. Doing it with no yak.
Can I talk about yak real quick with Adam
yak,
Humphries?
Yak, yak. Oh.
I talked to Adam today, and I walked up to him. He was coming out of, getting the trainer's room. I said, dude, you're going to die this year. He started laughing. He goes, I took some hits. I said, you did. He said, Coach Koetter was telling me, it's not the worst thing in the world to go down sometimes when you're that guy.
He's not
particularly in that
that
position, the slot. But he took a beating again.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe it's because it looks worse because, he weighs, 180 pounds, although they think he listed him at 200. But the bottom line is he took some shots. I'm generally concerned about this guy because genuinely concerned about this guy because he took a shot from his own guy. I think it was Holly that came and ripped his helmet off. He says, man, I didn't think I was going to be able to breathe again. It was kind of choking the chin strap a little bit there for a second. He said, that was probably the worst hit that I took. But I told him, I said, man, and I brought up the Rams specifically, just like you said. I said, Torrey Holt and Isaac Bruce, they got what they could get and they got down and they played a long time in this league. And that's not the worst thing in the world to do.
Yeah, and that's the rationale, right? And I know that it's probably because I'm a grizzled old guy and I don't like that style. I like the receivers that try and fight for every extra yard. But I see a big, imposing physical receiver like Mike, and I see him go down like this. And I'm like, God, you could fight through this. You could get 5-10 more yards on these routes.
I've seen him a few times where I feel like he's wrapped up and he's continuing to struggle, and that worries me that that's when the ball gets ripped out or you get an injury or something like that. Maybe I'm going to pay more attention to it.
And at the end of the day, if he's catching them for 140 yards and two touchdowns, do I really care that much?
Yeah.
Well, part of me does because it speaks to who he is as a player. I need him to be physical. Like, I love the...
He loves the block. He's very physical in blocking.
This is the transition that we're going to go back to, right? You know that I'm a fan of motion crack. Mm-hmm. I always have been. You let your receiver get a good run on someone and earhole him. And I think no better team than a team like the Broncos to let Mike Evans earhole a couple of defensive ends, right? get them mad. Let Tlaib get mad that he's ear hole in his guy, because Tlaib's going to be in his ear hole all game. Right?
And he knows Mike is a emotional player, and he's going to do everything in his power to get him out of his game. Thing is, though, Tlaib can get taken out of his game. We saw that with Steve Smith a few years ago
absolutely.
On Monday Night Football.
Absolutely. So while there's chatter in the chat room about the relative strength of a team, right? The Rams are terrible. There's no way we should have lost to them. Tell the Seahawks that, right? This is the way football goes. No one is as great or as bad as they seem to look, you know, when you do the analysis. But the Broncos have pretty much universally been believed to be a really strong team, and they are. My belief is we've got to run the ball against them, or at least use some combination of run and screen game against them to take advantage of the pressure they put on the quarterback. Right?
By the way, Jameis is going to get one of those tunnel screens taken back.
Oh, yes.
I think they're running those a little too much right now. And I think Durkee maybe mentioned that. We might want to
But what's funny
back
is
off because he actually heard the Rams players calling it before.
Well, they're giving it away with their formations, which is okay. Right, because you can set people up, and
Dirk does this.
And Dirk did it during this game. They set up double moves.
Mm-hmm.
The problem was on that play, Damar Dotson got completely whiffed by some random Ram D end. He stepped back in his pass pro, and the guy swung his arm at him. Dotson just fell over. I don't know. It was like a Rocky movie.
See, I say Damar had a worse game than Donovan did. A lot of people thought Donovan did.
No, he did. I don't disagree with that. I don't think. But somehow, as a unit, they played well. Right, there was individual pieces that it didn't come.
And isn't that ultimately? That's what you need.
You're going to get beat.
Right.
They get paid too. So the running game's got to come through. And again, I don't care whether it's Charles Sims or it's Rodgers. I don't really give a crap who gets the credit. I hope Humphreys doesn't break this game.
No.
Because I think Humphreys is critical this game. I think what they've discovered is, for once, the random comparison of athlete works. Humphreys does have a Welker Edelman type ability to him. And the pass that he caught on the east side of the field, where he runs diagonally across the field and gains another 18 yards.
Yeah.
Get this man the ball in space.
Yep.
Right? You don't have to do it within 2 yards.
And he is not a fast guy.
Nope.
But he is a football quick guy. And that's okay. You know what I mean? And you talk about football speed, whatever. He has the ability, for whatever reason, to be shifty enough to make guys miss. And it appears that he's running faster than he is. And it's kind of like when you look in your mirror and it says objects may be closer than they appear. Adam Humphreys may be faster than he appears. Again, you put him in a 40-yard dash, he's not going to blow anybody away. But part of it may be he doesn't want to get hit, so he's going to run really, really fast. It's kind of like when a dog's chasing you.
Your speed increases.
I'm a 6'4", 40 guy. Unless a German Shepherd's chasing me, then I'm, you know, a 4'9 guy.
I can believe that. Christopher Oxentine in the chat room is very, very unhappy. He's very sad about what's going on. He's very discombobulated, it seems. So, Chris, I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry that you're not seeing any of the things that we see that are positive. But I can't fix any of that for you either. So in so much as I can, as a fellow fan, feel some level of empathy for you. To say that the players probably believe they don't have much of a chance this week speaks to your lack of knowledge of how players in this league play. Every one of those players believes they have a chance. They all believe that they're better than the guys across the field from them. I assure you that. If you spend some time talking to men who play at this level, you will realize they all believe they're the best in the league at something, and they believe they can compete with anyone. You don't get to this level without having that. If you don't have that swagger, you can't play in this league. So if there's anyone out there like Chris who believes that the Bucs are going to be in that locker room going, man, coach, I'm so glad we get to play because we're not really nearly as good as those other guys, that's bullshit. They believe they're going to go out there and they're going to win the game. That's just the way it is. Now, does that mean they're going to win the game? No, it doesn't. But damn it, they're going to give their best to do it.
No, I agree. And you know, like I was saying, I think this is going to tell us a little bit more about Dirk, too. How quick can he get these guys to recover from this? We know from Jameis' standpoint, I asked Jameis yesterday, because Jameis is always talking about snap and clear. I asked him, I said, is this game a little harder to snap and clear because of the way that it ended? And I brought this up to Dirk, too, on Monday. And my Florida State fans that are in the chat room and listening will agree with this. This was an uncharacteristic Jameis moment. These are the moments that he thrives in. These are the moments that helped, you know, him win a national championship, but more importantly, the second year coming back after losing some of his weapons, still get his team into the playoffs and go undefeated in the regular season with all of those second half comebacks. So, you know, I felt, despite the rain delay, although the one thing that concerned me about the rain delay is Jameis is a notorious slow starter. But he came out right out of the gate and threw a beautiful pass. I think it was to Vince. Maybe it was to Mike. But a great pass on his first or second one. You know, it was his first pass. Just a great pass. And but you know what? He was never really on that game. He was just a little off. And not as bad as he was really in Arizona. But he just, I don't know what it was. It just wasn't. you know, vintage Jameis. And then in that 2-minute situation, he just made some throws that I feel like 9 times out of 10 that he makes. But unfortunately, he didn't, and it cost him the game.
Well, and hopefully this week he'll bounce back. You know, it's interesting when you look at the stat line, he had a decent game. But Jameis, one of the things about Jameis
he had a hell of a game.
But one of the things about Jameis is he'll look at that game as a horrible game because Absolutely. He knows he left the victory on the field.
Lost. And he feels, and you know, everybody says, well, what do you expect him to say? Of course he's going to take the blame. But no, Jameis.
There's a difference.
He genuinely takes the blame.
No, there's definitely a difference. Yep. We've talked about that before.
Yep.
You guys know I'm not a Florida State guy. You know that I'm not a jock sniffer.
You sniff mine.
Well, yeah, but that's off air. Different, right?
That's true.
But you know that I'm not beholden to players. Like, even when I was close with Josh and his family,
sure.
Right, I would call out when he played like a jackass, and because the game is the game.
Right.
The person is the person. Now, I can't claim to know Jameis as a human being. I haven't met him, with him off the field.
Got a great story about him later, about him as a person.
But I can tell you that as someone who's been around players a long time, the guy is something special,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's going to translate. It's going to translate into wins. I don't know when. Damn it. But
he's still got some flaws he's got to correct. And some of those errant throws were mechanical issues. And again, I'm one of those guys that doesn't get overly concerned about mechanical issues because, as we've said on the show many times, Brett Favre, there's no instructional video of mechanics with Brett Favre showing highlights of how he played, but
or
he got the job
Jim
done.
Jim Furyk, same way in golf, right?
Yeah, no,
the touchdown
absolutely.
To Cam Brate on the scramble, not exactly an example of how you throw a touchdown pass. As everyone's going, throw it away!
Right.
Good touchdown, yay! Yes.
And you know, but real quick on Jameis, again, talking about him as a person, and I don't think I've discussed, and I think I've told you about Jameis and some of his my interaction with him when it's just he and I just sitting around talking about things. With my son, as far as his ability to recall conversations from months prior. Again, today, you know, he's kind of sitting by himself in the locker, and you know, he spoke yesterday. Nobody really interviews him at that point. He's at the podium once a week. We understand that's our opportunity. But sometimes we make small talk with him, and we were talking about the Florida State-USF game. And I was going to leave it at that, and I walked away, and he said, hey, hold on. He said, how's your son doing? And I was like, he's doing okay. He says, how's his grades? And again, this goes back to conversation that took place back in the spring, which was the second conversation. The first one took place in December. And the one before that, when he actually, the very only time he's met my son, was in June of the year before. And again, it's an uncanny ability to connect and remember and make everybody feel like they're an important person. And that's a genuine thing that his teammates feed off of and love about this guy. And again, yes, I'm a fan of him because I'm a Florida State guy, but I'm a fan of him as a person as well. I think that, you know, that's just a unique quality that he has. I'll say this, since I've been doing it, I've never met anybody like him, and I don't know that I will either again. And that's one of the reasons why, going back to his days at Florida State, a buddy of mine that was a walk-on player, Jameis is having his pro day on NFL Network Live, on ESPN Live, and he calls my buddy over to run some routes just so he could say that, you know what, he ran a route and caught a ball from Jameis Winston, which he never did in a game because he's a walk-on guy. But Jameis wanted him to have an opportunity to be on TV. Again, unselfish that way. And that's a unique thing. And that's what I think you're kind of going to. It's just a unique character that this guy has. And I'm pushing away whatever may have happened or didn't happen, whatever, you know, college-wise. But bottom line is there something unique and special about this guy? And it's not because I'm a Florida State fan. I have some Gator guys in that locker room, I mean in the media room, that see it and believe it just as much as everybody else.
It's very real. And in the chat room, there was a comment that's obvious that he's coming across that way, even for people that are out of state. They still see it.
Can
they
feel it?
It's palpable there. But there needs to be not just Jameis. Mm-hmm. There needs to be the Gerald McCoys of the world, the Levante Davids of the world, you know, in the past, the Vincent Jacksons of the world, who can step up and, you know, it's great that Jameis wants to shoulder the burden of every loss.
Right.
He's a quarterback. That's what a quarterback is going to do, right? But at some point, and I know it's not going to be Gerald. That's not who Gerald is. And this isn't a beat-up Gerald thing because Gerald plays amazing football, right? This game that they play, he does pretty damn well. They need someone on defense who's going to step up and stand next to Mike Smith, and it may end up being Quan Alexander, which surprised me.
Gerald's actually taken on a little bit more of that role this
year.
He
needs to, right?
And that was what Jameis, that's what he asked him to do.
Right.
And we've seen Gerald lead some of that pregame stuff, which before, and I think we've told this before, Gerald said in all of his career, he'd been asked to do a pregame speech twice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we know he's already done it once this year, if not twice. So, you know, he's taking on that step. It's not a natural thing for him. But you know what? those guys still respond to it. Maybe not as much as Jameis, but they see that he's putting forth that effort. And you know, and when Gerald talks, those guys do listen. He just doesn't talk enough. But when he does talk, they do listen to what he says.
Well, and that's why I think that a guy like Kwon, who's been accused of being Jameis-like in the film room with defense, right, you need someone.
He's learning to be that way. He just started this year. Last year, he took it upon himself to talk to Jameis about how I can be like you. As far as being that type of leader and putting in that time in the film room.
Well, I think that the defense is going to need that this week. Let's transition to who you think the predictive MVPs are going to be on offense and defense, Mark. I've already got mine written down. Actually, you know, I'll tell mine. I don't usually do that first, but I'll do mine. I'm going to go right in the face of the honorable gentleman from PewterReport.com, the editor-in-chief.
And chief sometimes.
And chief, too.
Yeah.
Editor-in and chief
right.
At PewterReport.com. Daryl Smith played some this week, but if you're not in base, he doesn't play. We play a lot of nickel, so we don't see a lot of Daryl Smith out there, to the question in the chat room.
But can I just say real quick to interrupt you? I'm not saying he's a disappointment, because he's certainly been an asset if you talk to people inside the meeting room and the film room and things like that. But here's a guy that at times I completely forget that he's on this football team. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, and we should check the play counts. But I would bet it's just because of the mix.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt.
Because when he's on the field, you see his number.
They're 60% nickel, if not higher, this year. We'll ask Greg Allman. He'll know.
Greg, he just tweeted it, probably.
Probably.
He had a Spidey sense tingle.
He actually tweeted it before I asked the question. He knew what I was
going to
say.
Mark's going to ask that question. He's an idiot here,
right.
Mark. I think Charles Sims has a bounce-back game, and I think it's because it's a combination of getting the ball more in the running game and the screen game dump, the option route when he comes through the line, gets a chance to choose left, right. I think that the Bucs, when they go back to this drawing board, are going to want to stay away from those corners if they can and get it to guys like Sims, Rodgers, and Humphreys underneath, in space, and move. They want to let that defensive line get upfield and get gassed, mm-hmm. trying to get after Jameis, mm-hmm. and run behind him.
And you know what? Again, I'm not one of these big guys, because we've seen teams come from up north in the summertime or in the late summer and still whip the shiz out of the Buccaneers. But
sure.
But Denver's different. I mean, you got altitude and low humidity, low temperature. I mean, it's going to be a change. And I don't remember what the temperature was up in Cincinnati last week, but I don't think it's going to be – I don't think it was 92 degrees. Maybe it was. But, you know, this is an opportunity where that weather could play, that heat could play a bit of a – of an help the Buccaneers in if they do exactly what you say. Nothing worse than – when your dog gets loose and you're running, you chase him, and right before you get him, the son of a gun takes off again and you want to shoot him, right? You're taking him to the pound if you ever get your hands around his neck. Look, if the Buccaneers can do that with Sims, I would love to see that. Where, you know what I mean? They release the hard pass rush up the field and drop it right over the head, because that frustrates and that'll wear you down.
Oh, yeah.
The thing is, though, the Broncos, I believe, are mentally strong and tough enough that whereas some teams, they may give up or fold a little bit. I don't know if the Broncos do. Yeah. But it is an advantage that the Buccaneers should be able to use. I agree with that. Or should try and use, in other words.
They are certainly not going to not chase that down from behind either, which will fatigue a defense.
Mm-hmm.
Which is another thing we don't talk about a lot when you talk about this particular strategy. If you can throw behind a defensive line who's well-coached, they are going to try and track it down. They're not just going to let the safeties make the tackle. They're going to huff back after it. And that is going to make them go through guys.
Let me ask you a question, and I don't know the answer to this, but I think I do. What's more grueling on your four down linemen, pass rush or run defense?
More grueling is probably run, because there's more contact.
Well, more physical contact. More, what wears you out faster?
Rapid pass rush.
And that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, because it's space.
You know, and so, you know, that's maybe why they were able to do what the offensive line deals was. When you throw 58 times, you know what I mean, and Robert Quinn is trying to get that quick get-off, and Aaron Donald's trying to get that quick get-off, you know what I mean? And if you can beat them, you know, dink and dunk them sometimes, that frustrates the hell out of a defensive line.
Yeah.
So, you know, look, if they throw 58 times again this week and they win by three, everybody's happy.
Well, one of the things our offensive line does have to get a little bit better at, and this is just a matter of being reminded, because every offensive lineman knows this, if guys start putting their hands up to bat balls, which happened a lot mm-hmm. in the third and fourth quarter, you have to drill them in the chest
absolutely.
So hard that their wives feel it.
Make them not have kids, be able to have kids again.
So they've got to do that.
You're kind by saying chest.
Yeah.
I may have taught our Little League kids to go a little lower. May have, allegedly.
Little League, it makes sense. All right.
Because no kids didn't wear cups.
And then, of course, in the chat room, Callum Shaw says VJAC needs to contribute in some kind of way. I agree.
But here's a bold prediction, even though we don't do bold predictions on this show.
Sure we do.
Oh, do we?
Well, I mean, we do predict that. They may be bold. My pick of Charles Sims, everyone thinks sucks, is pretty bold.
I think if Vincent doesn't get things together a little bit more, and maybe this isn't that bold, but when Lewis Murphy comes back, as Russell Shepard made a great catch again the other day, a diving catch. I think it was Shepard. Yeah, I think Shepard had one.
It was Shepard.
You know what I mean? As I was mentioning to Scott, and again, I'm not knocking Vince because I like the guy and his character is impeccable, and I don't think he's out there dogging. I don't know what's going on. But Dirk said it before this last game. If production doesn't change, then the elements change. And we know Jameis isn't going to get pulled out of this game, or you know, he's not going to be benched anytime soon. So
huge balls to change your stack rank and wide receiver when you're so poor at wide receiver.
I know, but as I mentioned to Scott, how much worse is Russell Shepard in that spot than Vincent Jackson, the way that Vincent's played?
Yeah, and I'd have to go back to look and see what the coverage was on Vincent in general, because mm-hmm. Vincent does tend to draw attention even if he's not catching the ball, because they're afraid that he will. Right, he's got the book of business.
Right.
Russell Shepard has no book of business. No one really gives a shit that Russell Shepard's on the field.
But that can be an
but
advantage.
But he does well. It can be an advantage. I don't disagree.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it changes what you get looks for.
Yeah.
Because when you got V-Jack and Mike out there, you can pretty much figure out what they're going to do from a coverage perspective.
Right.
But at any rate, on defense, I'm going with Lavonte David. I think Lavonte was close to having an amazing game this week. Quan had the spectacular pick six. They both played really well. I don't know whether Lavonte is just getting healthier or what, but Lavonte was in the right place at the right time a lot last week, and I expect him to do that a lot against this quarterback.
Well, the Cardinals really neutralized with their scheme, particularly in their running game, getting two guys on Lavonte David most of that game against Cardinals. And I didn't see that from the naked eye when I was watching the game. All I know is he didn't have a tackle in the game, and then we asked Mike and we asked Dirk about it, and he said that that's the style that they run, and they neutralize the weak side. So that was part of the reason that he's maybe struggled a little bit. I thought he played much better this week. I'm going to go with on offense. I'm going to go with Jameis, and I'm not saying he's going to throw for 400 and something yards again. In fact, I don't think he's going to hit 300. I think he might hit around 300, but I think he's going to be sharper and a little bit more accurate this game. And he's going to have to be, because if he doesn't, there will be balls picked in this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, these guys will absolutely take you back.
Yep. Akib's not going to be playing a soft zone, I can assure you that.
No, he's going to make you beat him.
Yep.
He's going to take risks. And for the chess player in Dirk Cutter, that can help,
right?
But as a receiver, and one of the things that we saw out of Mike Evans, we've always seen out of Mike Evans for some reason, even as physically as he is, he's sort of a coin flip guy when he gets pressed.
Mm-hmm.
He can't be a coin flip guy. If they press a guy that size,
yeah.
There's not a corner in the league his size.
Yeah, you got to
get
around
him
that.
Aside.
You get
I don't
upside.
Care if you get an offensive pass interference or an illegal hands. I don't care. Get a penalty because you bitch slapped him so badly.
Right.
Do not, for the love of God, get jammed on the line by some 6'1", mm-hmm. 185-pound punk.
I agree. That's a good point. That was offensively. I'm going to go with Jameis. I almost went with Mike again. I think I've kind of went with Mike other than ASJ last week. But I'm going to go with Austin Safarian Jenkins in this one. No.
Nice call.
Yeah. I'm going to go Sapp. No, I'm not going to go Sapp. I'm going to go Gerald McCoy. I think Gerald gets to Simeon a couple times. I think that, you know, he's going to sit back there and hold the ball. He's going to hold the ball a little bit. And I think Jameis is good. I'm sorry. I think Gerald's going to make a big difference in this game. And he's going to need to if they're going to have an opportunity to win this game.
It's going to be an interesting one. We're going to move to the score prediction in the chat room. There's a lot of discussion about, I can't believe we're talking about Murphy coming back. But it's true. I mean, the reality is, especially, and you guys know because of the charity stuff we do, V-Jack is a tremendous human being.
Mm-hmm.
Does a tremendous amount of stuff in the community, and he's been a very good football player for us and for his career in general. This is disappointing to see what's going on. I'd love to know what's going on and see it righted, because when he's playing good football, this offense, which is already potent, I get it. We lost another game. This offense is putting up yards. It's putting up points. If you can eliminate the turnovers, this offense is pretty astonishing. And it's just got to get out of its own way. But you're right. Once again, you know, Shep comes in, and all he does is catch the ball. I've been trying to cut this guy for, what, 2 years? And all he does is play great special teams, and every time he gets in on offense, do something good since the first year when he couldn't block anyone. But kicker making his kicks would help too, according to the chat room. Guys, get your score predictions in there. We'll announce them. I'm going to ask Mark his score prediction this week. He has already told us he's not going to pick the Bucks. What is the score by which you think the Bucks will drop to 1-3 in the first quarter of this season?
I'm going to go 28-23 Broncos. Aguayo misses another extra point.
Wow. Yeah. Look at that. 28-23. Christopher Oxendine, not surprisingly, picked a 28-7 loss for the Bucks. He said he is not going to watch this game. He has other things to do, which is, of course, his right.
Wait a second. I don't get that.
He's an angry
He's a
fan.
Huge Bucks fan.
I know that.
He's not going to. You know what? He's saying that, but he's not going. He will watch this football game.
Well, tweet at him during the game. See what he's doing.
I'm
going to
say.
Test him.
I'm going to make him FaceTime me and
let
me know what he's
doing. You're
going to
FaceTime him in the press room?
Yes, and he's gonna have to show me around his room and show me that the TV isn't on.
We've got Callum Shaw, 2420. Hold on, what was that? 2420 Broncos with a sad face. Tennessee Buck, Broncos 14, Bucks 10. Rendax, 1-0 Bucks. It's a forfeit. Denver plane goes down. That's terrible.
Wow.
That's terrible. Jesus.
Fly high, Freebird.
That is terrible. A Freebird reference. Nice. I am, of course, going to predict the Bucks win because I always do. And I'm going to predict a 41-40 shootout.
Holy shiz. Really?
I have to because I don't know that we can stop them, but I have to believe that our offense is going to get some things going. And I know that that's a weird thing because I could have said, like, you know, like 1-0 or 9-3, but I don't know that we can stop them from scoring. And I have to believe that Jameis is going to get this done.
I really think that this is a game that the defense does play better at. I mean, this is probably, well, I'm not going to say the best offense because they do have a first-year quarterback, a seventh-round draft pick. I don't give a damn. There's a reason he was a seventh-round draft pick. There was a reason the guy who played at Northwestern. I mean, you know, he's fit into the system very well, but I think this is a game that the Buccaneers defense is going to play fundamentally more sound, and they're going to eliminate some of those big plays at least.
Make sure you tell me who you think wins because it's been a very Bronco-heavy. Big Hero C says 35-10 Broncos, and he's not watching either. KRS Sloan.
If you're listening to this show, you're going to watch the game.
But, dude, I mean, we're way more popular than the Bucks are.
I was just thinking that. That's just not true.
It's not true at all. There's a lot more people that like the Bucks.
A lot.
Damn it, we're so not popular.
There's a lot more people that like midget, lesbian, albino clown porn than us.
That is an amazing strung together set of modifiers.
Hand raised.
Favorites. KRS Sloan, 24-21 Bucks victory. KRS Sloan says the kicker is going to make his kicks. Skip says Bucks 31-30.
Good. Skip, don't do this to yourself.
Skip and I are on the same page.
Don't do this to yourself, man. Listen, go in expecting a loss and be so happy that they surprise the world and win.
Chris Oxnine thinks it's going to be a couple of Bucks turnovers. That's going to be the biggest difference.
He won't know because he won't be watching.
He'll watch at the end. He'll see it on Red Zone. Bucks Baller 37 says 35-28, but I don't know who's going to win. Thomas Sandberg thinks VH3.
The team that starts with a B.
VH3 is going to get a couple of picks.
He needs to do something because he has not done a lot.
Ren, to your comment about if you're listening to the show, goes 17 people can't be wrong.
It's not true. There's 18 in the chat room.
Nice. Callum says he's only listening because he's in.
Is it 4 in the morning in Scotland right now? Where's he at?
Big game. Who knows where Callum is?
Callum, where are you at?
Where are you, Callum? Let us know. Skip says we can't stop anyone. Bet the over heavy, which is probably not a bad call. To bet the over, as it were. And Chris says he never said he wasn't going to be listening on Sirius XM. He's in Liverpool. Callum's in Liverpool. Sword for Emmanuel Sanders. So is Emmanuel Sanders...
Throw another shrimp on the Barbie there, Callum.
Jesus.
Sorry.
Typical. All right, a couple of things we want to remind you guys of that we got going on. We got our tailgate out there.
By the way,
week.
I know that's Australia before some smartass in the chat room says Cook's an idiot.
Smartasses in the chat room?
No
way.
No, I know.
No way.
I love how you keep that over there where I can't see because
you
I know
can
they
log in and see it.
No, I don't want to see. You're the only person that would want to see people ripping on you. I don't want to see that.
I don't care.
Obviously, you do a lot of Facebook Live posts.
Yeah, doesn't bother me a lick.
You know what I was thinking to myself, and this is all serious. I love the fact that you don't give a damn. You're the man. You don't give a shit that you're not Brad Pitt. You know what? Look at me. I cringe and crawl under tables, and I purposely don't have a mirror in my bathroom. Yet I go in yours, and I've never seen a mirror that goes the entire length of the bathroom, including right over the toilet where you pee. I have never seen myself pee before. It is not a pretty sight, but you, my friend, are that confident in yourself, and I love that.
Well, I appreciate that you love that.
I do.
I definitely do not have the confidence issue that you do.
No. I don't. Not if you have a mirror right in front of the toilet.
Nope, not worried.
And it's not one of those circus mirrors either that
it
makes things look larger than they appear.
No, it's not.
In fact, I think it's the opposite. Or
nope,
I hope so.
It's not.
Jeez, dang it. I was afraid you were going to say that.
It is not.
Ugh.
At smartass in the chat room about as likely as Mark Cook interrupting someone.
That's part of my charm.
Fisher, right now Chris Fisher is somewhere going, yeah, he interrupted me again. He's doing a live show.
No,
for
I do that on purpose.
Well,
with
you
him.
Interrupt
I
the hell out
love
of
doing it. And I see him cringe and he kind of, again, literally see like veins pop out of it. And I love doing that to him.
It's good stuff. All right. If you're here in Tampa.
Wait,
what?
I'm interrupting you. If you don't like it, don't listen. I'm just kidding. Listen anyway.
All right.
Like Chris, who will be watching the Bucks game.
If you are live in Tampa, come out to our tailgate. We are at 3316 West Ohio. If you have any questions about the tailgate, especially you guys that are friends with me on Facebook, please don't message me, Dave Game. It's not that I'm being rude. I'm trying to help run a party for 500 to 800 people.
And look, can I just tell you, out of experience, when I see this guy setting up, he is a little high-strung at times because he feels the pressure of the world on his shoulders. He can be a little grumpy. So you probably don't want him to text you back at that moment.
This is probably true.
Right.
But we do get it done, and we'll be out there at 11 o'clock. Again, the charity this tailgate is The Spring, which is a center here in Tampa for domestic abuse victims.
Diapers.
We are collecting diapers and toiletries.
Right.
Because when people check in there, really, they don't have that stuff. And a lot of the times, yep, women are bringing children with them. We also, yep, did pillows for The Spring one time because they leave with their pillows and their sheets as well.
I remember I had Cheryl on my radio show back in 2012.
Yep.
For,
yep,
The Spring, and we did got a lot of pillows. And if you bring pillows and you're an attractive female, they encourage pillow fights before you turn the pillows in.
Not true.
Not true?
It's totally not true.
Are you sure that's not true?
I am.
Because that could get me to the tailgate.
All right. Well,
Jello wrestling and pillow fights.
We had pies in the face last week and you didn't come. It's too far of a walk. You're too lazy. Callum Shaw in the chat room. I do want to make sure I give you a shout out. Callum is one of our patrons, which means he is donating every month to.
Is that an Australian word?
It isn't, but they do spell it weirdly. It's Patreon for some reason.
Right.
But he does donate monthly to help support the broadcast costs. You guys can do that too if you go to the What the Buck website. Check at the top. Click on the Patreon link. You can find out what that's all about. I will be getting you your shirt within the next week, Callum, so you can rep that overseas and get us some pictures. I'm also going to send you a couple of other things in this little goodie bag.
I like that you said pictures. So many people just say pictures.
You have a lot of dumb friends who are inarticulate.
I was referencing people from What the Buck. I can't believe you just said that about them.
I don't think so.
I'm just kidding.
Anyway, I think our What the Buck people,
I'm not going to let the show end. I'm just going to keep interrupting you.
They would Wonderlic much better than some of the other folks in the area.
That's probably true.
Wonderlic.
I don't know. Some of these guys like Buck Crazy who wears 19 pounds of makeup, a 7-foot wig.
It's called face paint.
Whatever it is, it can't be warm. It can't be cool when it's 98 degrees.
That's okay. He's
and I don't mean
star.
The band. I mean the temperature.
He's a superstar. And Nick Facebook Lachey. Lives are phenomenal, by the way.
I do enjoy his because he will do like crime scenes.
He will. He's giving you the breaking news.
He did a funeral procession recently. There was a shooting type situation he was involved in the other day.
He was not involved.
Well,
he was just
allegedly
there.
He wasn't. We don't know that for sure. He may be the guy who sets places on fire and then waits for the fire people to show up. I don't know. We don't know that about him because his last name is Crazy. Legally, he changed it.
He didn't change
it. I took some medicine before I came today.
You
My
did.
Neck was hurting.
You're
me.
Definitely juiced up. I
yeah,
like it, though.
I'm amped.
I want to thank Mark Cook from PewterReport.com for joining us as usual. Mark, obviously, the articles are going up on PewterReport.com regularly. Do you have any other big things? You got a big watch party coming up here soon, don't
That's
you?
Going to be huge, and we hope.
Huge.
I don't
it's
know.
Be huge.
Huge Tampa Bay. I don't know if. Why don't either one of us have that guy as a sponsor? We got to go work on that. But. Anyway,
I bought a car from him, for God's sakes.
Oh, geez. Well, you got a leg up.
Yeah.
Big leg up. But the point is I don't know what you guys are going to be doing. Do you all have a watch party that night for Monday Night Football?
We don't host watch parties anymore. We
I know, but you travel.
I travel from time to time. We have joined up with Fergs for one watch party. But other than that, we're just traveling. So we need to confirm with Cheryl.
We would love for as many of you guys to come out to the Hard Rock. It's a good time. They run some great specials.
You waive the
specials.
Parking, right?
No parking fee. At all, and you know, they got an 18-foot big projection screen plus all the regular TVs around there. They set up a section right down in front just for our watch party.
Are you ever going to take me to Council Oak?
No, but we can probably get in the Plum Room, which is better.
Whatever.
More
all,
intimate.
All the cool people get to go to Council Oak.
I can't even get into Council Oak. I've went once, and I don't know that I'll ever make it again.
It makes me
Apparently,
sad.
You can't wear shorts and Vans in Council Oak. Apparently, that's frowned upon.
All right. Well, let's get the information about that. We'll post an article on our site as well.
That'd be awesome.
We'll create an event as well. We'll see what's going on, make sure that our guys know what that's going on. Do you ever have watch party for Monday Night Football is the
That's
question.
What it'll be. It'll be the Monday Night game.
Cheryl's confirming. That's the Monday Night game.
Yeah.
So Cheryl will be the one that we coordinate this.
We've got some giveaways that we do. We've got some autograph merchandise, things like that
nice.
That we give away at halftime. No cost to attend whatsoever. You can go and you don't have to eat. You can just sit and watch and order water all night long for if that's what you want to do. But I recommend
we
definitely
don't,
order
we don't
because
need,
there's some
listen,
great food and drinks.
All kidding aside, when we travel, you know the people we travel with.
Yeah.
I got to give some credit here. And I also want to give a shout out because Ren Dax was voted. And we should make this a standing thing, Cheryl, if you can remind me. Chat contributor of the evening. I love whoever just did that. I think Sandberg did it in the chat room. Ren Dax has been on fire in the chat room mm-hmm. with funny shit. And definitely I like that as an award. So let's try and keep a tally on that one. But when it comes to traveling, our people spend money,
yeah.
right? They support the people that support things that we do.
Right.
And those folks at Hard Rock support you guys. We like what you guys do.
I just think there's a stigma a little bit because I've had actually people say, you know, they thought, well, you got parking, and that but it's at a casino. It's going to be a lot of money, and this and that. It's really, I mean, you know, the food and drink specials are really, really good that they do, and the food there is really good as well. I'm impressed with a lot of their food and things that they do for us there, and they do some Pewter Report specials. I don't know if Two Henrys will be out there. Sometimes they were at our last watch party, free beer samples and specials on some of their beers. So they may be out there for that one as well. But we'll get more information on that as well.
We'll get that out
to
you guys.
And you don't. I mean, we'd love for you to RSVP so we have an idea. But if you know what, it's Monday night. You're saying, what can I do? Just show up. It'll be fine. We're going to let you in.
Well, if you guys are out there, we'll try and get out there. Cheryl and I will talk about it.
We're
going
to try
and
we may have a player. We'll announce that soon too. And we're trying to get a very special former Buck out who will be at one of our watch parties, but he's not sure if he's going to be at this one. But we should have a former Buccaneer player out as well.
Well, I'm glad it's a former one because you're getting a real. We had watch parties before, and
people
said,
ask all the time, "Why can't you get Jameis?"
Jesus, people ask us too. All right, I want to thank you guys again for joining us. We got the Broncos coming up. I'll try and remember my extra battery this week so my battery doesn't die halfway through. If we hadn't had the rain interruption. And I took my friend Brian's phone, who does not, he uses it as a phone.
Brian who?
Gershman from Mamadou. My buddy that takes it with. No.
I was like, he doesn't like football.
He's got like 90% battery life. I'm like, I install Twitter on it. Nice. I'm doing all this stuff in the club. But at any rate, we'll be back. We'll be live tweeting from the game. We'll see you at the tailgate. And the Patreon thing, go take a look at that on the website. Make sure you see, we've got a one pager now that describes the entire game day events, including the schedule. So if you're coming to the tailgate, print that out. It'll tell you where, when, how, weather predictions, the whole nine yards.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive. I call it a flyer.
Yeah,
but it's
a flyer. Yeah, it is. So it's good stuff. Jay and our team over there did that. It's going to be a good time. So we'll see you guys out there. And again, big shout out to One Voice. It's so great.
Can I interrupt you again real quick?
You always can.
I really don't have
you.
Anything. I just wanted to do that. Now it's a fun game.
It's not really that much fun.
To me.
Well, you should go try and use the bathroom with that mirror. That'll take your ego down a notch or two.
An inch or two. Is that what you said?
All right.
Can
good night to everyone
out
there. No, I'm not going to edit anything. Enjoy the articles we have. We'll have more articles coming this week as well.
Go to Pewter Report. Don't just read Twitter. Please click on the links. And as Derek says, patronize these sponsors. I mean, even if you know what? Even if you're not in the market to get a knee replacement, call our doctor and say, thanks for sponsoring Pewter Report. You know what I mean? Little things like that
do make
a difference.
That's an interesting point. That's a really interesting point. And our folks, I was about to give this big compliment to our folks. And I want to make sure I do it. We have an amazing group of supporters, both the ones locally and abroad, mm-hmm. And both domestic and foreign, that really do care a lot. They participate with us. They send us information. They care what's going on in the lives of the people, not just us, but the people in our circle. When it comes to sponsors, even if you can't necessarily take advantage of the services they offer, letting them know that it matters that they
and
support.
And that you're seeing their ad.
Yeah, you're
that
seeing
you see it and you appreciate their support.
It's very PBS-like, and that's what the Patreon thing is. Mm-hmm. And what's funny is at the tailgate this week, Scott Hawley, Joe's dad, and Joe's mom were at our tailgate. They've come to our tailgate a number of times.
Does their brother come?
The brother does sometimes and brings his wife, which is great because she's beautiful. And they're all friendly people. They always hang out.
Right.
This week, we were doing this donation, and Scott asked, he's like, hey, I've got $100. If you guys can match it, I'll put it right in the treasure chest.
Wow.
And, you know, someone immediately said, hey, can we just aggregate it? Because I've got 10 on it, whatever. He's like, yeah, whatever. And then this guy, DeTwayne, did it. He's like, no, I got you. And it was very PBS, because you'll hear PBS mm-hmm. people do that. So there's really this groundswell going, and it's really cool to see. So I want to see
and
guys
I got 20.
Tailgate.
And Cook never comes off his money, and I got a 20 for you.
Look at that, a 20. We'll put that right in the coffer.
I'm not saying it's not Confederate money.
Well. That's probably
worth
more.
But actually, if it's an authentic Confederate $20 ball, it might be more money.
All right, we will see you guys next week. We'll see you guys online. We'll see you guys at the tailgate. Mark, I want to thank you. Thanks, Scott, the whole team over there. You guys had a Pewter Pulse this week?
Yep, we had one put up this week. And Zach Shapiro made his debut. And you guys go and check that out. It really, you know, Daisy Charlotte is the one who did the production of it. And she asked me, she goes, it's not got as many views as the ones in the off season, but she doesn't understand. I try to explain. In the offseason, people are jonesing for anything football and Buccaneers related, right? There's so much going on during the season. But I think it's good. The production end of it is very good. The content, mine is very good. Zach's, well, it's not that great. I'm just kidding, Zach. You did a great job on it, especially for never being in front of the camera before. But, you know, we kind of looked back at the Rams game and looked ahead to the Broncos, and we talked about what we felt was the biggest culprit for the loss, and we both had some different opinions on that. So if people will go check out that Pewter Pulse, that's great. A ton of great content. Of course, Scott's phenomenal. SR's Fab 5 comes out tomorrow. Lots of good, juicy inside scoop tidbits and things like that. And we also have started a new thing this year where we do, we don't just do score predictions. We try and play out the game in our mind. What's going to happen? You know what I mean? Jameis is going to start off fast. He's going to hit him, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't mean anything. It's just fun. But we encourage people to also go to the site, put their prediction in there as well, and see how they match up against us as far as those predictions go and how they feel the game's going to play out.
Neat idea. I like it. I like it. All right. Thanks, guys, for joining us tonight. Thanks, Mark, for joining us as well. And we will see you guys at the tailgate. I'm now going to try and play the bumper music, which I'll probably screw up. And
if
then,
not, I'll rap.
You promised that last week you didn't do anything. So we're going to go with the exit music by Franco.
Yeah. Yeah. Scoop. Scoop. Yeah. 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 Well, like Bugs Bunny, man, I think that's all, folks. My man, Oaks, just shut down another show. Same name, same time for the past 11 years. Guess what? Next week, we gon' be right here. Talking about the Bucks and having a good time. We give it to you straight, no need to be between the lines. The beat drop hard every time I hit the nine. And if you didn't know it, this is Franco on the rhymes. Yeah. 11 years strong, y'all. It's the What the Buck podcast. My man, Derek, they call him Old School. Nothing can stop us, man. It's What the Buck. It's What the Buck. Yeah. It's What the Buck. Yeah. It's What the Buck, man. Nothing can stop us, man. It's What the Buck.